In Alabama, coal miners continue what some historians believe is the longest labor strike in the state's history. There's been a stalemate over a tentative agreement there for almost a year and a half. There's been tension and violence. Striking coal miners have been accused of starting fistfights, slashing tires, and even shattering the car windows of those who cross the picket line. Stephen Bisaha of the Gulf States Newsroom reports on this strike and its place in the history of the U.S. labor movement.
To understand the tension in the small town of Brookwood, Alabama, it helps to go back to March. At a rally, local union organizer Larry Spencer told a story about confronting a strikebreaker at a gas station.
He asked me again, he said, "What you gonna do?" I said, "I'm gonna beat your eyes out and then blow your brains out. That's what I'm gonna do." I said, "'Cause I'm tired of you taking my brothers and sisters' job."
The union says it discourages any kind of violence or property damage, but a video posted by Warrior Met Coal, the company at the center of the strike, shows what appears to be miners surrounding a bus full of strikebreakers. There are also images of workers bloodied up, supposedly from fights with the strikers, and at one point someone throws a cement block through a passing car's window. The union says it's reached a deal with federal labor officials to pay about $500,000 in damages to Warrior Met. Now, the miners aren't gathering together at their rallies, picking up rocks and baseball bats and plotting attacks against the strikebreakers. They're spending time with their families.
All right, happy birthday, buddy.
But the strikers are frustrated. And to understand why, we have to go back to 2016. That was a bad time for the steel made from the coal these workers mine. Prices had plummeted, so the miners agreed to pay and benefit cuts. Now, steel prices are booming. But the company isn't offering enough to restore what the miners gave up, hence the strike. Strikers like Steve Boyd have no sympathy for the strikebreakers who are working in the mines right now.
They get what they should expect for crossing a picket line. I grew up in a union household. I knew not to cross a picket line. And these people come down here, take our jobs, kick their ass.
The union says it's actually the company that's been violent, targeting strikers with their cars, but they haven't been able to prove that to federal labor officials. To be clear, we're mostly talking about smashed windows and flattened tires. Nothing like the historical violence around coal mines. Literal gunfights over workers' rights are why many historians like Eric Loomis say the American labor movement's past was so bloody.
In 1921, as a result of a series of violence with the companies, you know, the miners of West Virginia engage in open rebellion.
Loomis wrote A History of America in 10 Strikes.
You have the West Virginia Mine War leading to the Battle of Blair Mountain, which is a pitched battle between law enforcement and workers, right? That is an unthinkable thing today.
That battle included 10,000 coal miners taking arms against law enforcement. Historians say those companies were usually the ones responsible for inciting the violence, while most of the casualties were miners. What finally led to a decline of these conflicts were new labor laws that forced companies to negotiate with workers, namely the National Labor Relations Act of 1935. The problem today is that law hasn't been updated in 87 years, and corporations discovered plenty of ways around negotiating. We're seeing that play out despite big union wins this year. In April, Staten Island Amazon workers celebrated voting to become the first unionized Amazon facility in the country. But despite a union victory there and at hundreds of Starbucks stores, none of those workers have negotiated a first contract. Warrior Met Coal recently reported record profits, so there's not really any urgency for them to negotiate either. Again, labor historian Eric Loomis.
The ability of this mining company to resist, you know, negotiating in good faith is part and parcel of the same thing of Starbucks being like, yeah, we're just going to fire a bunch of workers and hire a bunch of anti-union consultants, and we're going to try to wait this out.
Historians say the labor protections have been weakening for decades. But they also say turning to violence is a bad idea. Take our striking Brookwood miners. The property damage and fights led to a local judge severely limiting their ability to picket in front of the mine for most of the strike. At the local union hall, miner Aaron Parker agrees. Going after strikebreakers is a mistake.
But if it happens, I don't care. And I have no sympathy for the people that suffer, because if they're going in there scabbing right now in the midst of the strike, they're not helping us in any way. And they're hurting us, in fact. So I have no sympathy for their misfortune, because I'm living through misfortune every day.
With determined strikers and record profits for the coal company, the strike is expected to last for several more months, if not longer. For Here and Now, I'm Stephen Bisaha.